Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, January 7th. Coming up today, we'll hear from Kent's roads boss about what we can do to be prepared for more wintry weather that's forecast to come our way. We'll also hear for the first time from the new Gillingham manager after Mark Bonner was sacked over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today. People living near a Kent countryside footpath say it's been turned into an impassable bog following dredging work. Chester has more details for the Kent Online podcast. Chester, what can you tell me about the dredging work and why it's upset residents?
Well, the Environment Agency carried out the work on a half-mile stretch between New Romney and St Mary in the Marsh, following the clearing of the Wallingham sewer which runs alongside it. It was completed in November, but there's still sludge a foot deep from the drainage channel blocking the footpath. Some residents who use the public right-of-way daily say they've given up trying to get through.
Now, residents say it's not just thick mud, but that the route is actually impassable.
That's right. You can see pictures at Kent Online that show the extent of the mess that's been made by the dredging work. John Harris, who used to regularly walk the path, has told the Kent Online podcast the boggy stretch is about 15 feet wide, and so to get around it, people are having to walk into crops. He says for anyone who's not very able-bodied, there's no way at all to get across. John says he knows the work is essential and the ditches need to be cleared, but it should have been done from the other side so as to not impact walkers.
Are there any plans for a clean-up?
Well, angry residents want the Environment Agency to come back and clear the mud away, but so far they've not responded to our requests for a comment. When the issue was put to District Councillor David Wimble, he reiterated how important this type of work is to keep the land around the marsh free from flooding. He said, from a farmer's point of view, it needed to be dredged because otherwise they would get flooding in their fields. So it's a lesser of two evils, really.
Thanks, Chester.
Kent Online News.
Four teenagers have been released on bail after being accused of threatening people with a BB gun in Herne Bay. It comes after armed police were seen outside a pub in School Lane on Friday night. A 19-year-old man, 17-year-old girl and two boys aged 14 and 17 were detained on suspicion of public order offences. A Dover pub landlord has appeared in court accused of vandalising CCTV cameras at a neighbouring retail park. Former News of the World journalist Paul McMullen ran the Castle Inn in Russell Street and is said to have caused nearly £6,000 worth of damage. The 54-year-old says it all stems from privacy issues and he pleaded not guilty. His trial is due to begin in December. A drunk driver who swerved across the M25 in Kent before heading into oncoming traffic has avoided being sent to prison. Footage at Kent Online shows the 53-year-old in his Toyota Yaris travelling from Junction 3 at Swanley to the A21. He eventually crashed in Westerham and was arrested. The Chatham man admitted offences including dangerous driving. He's been ordered to do 200 hours of unpaid work. He's been banned from driving for a year. Two men have been charged following the theft of designer coats from a shop in Tunbridge Wells. It's alleged the suspects went into the TK Maxx near Longfield Road and took the items on December 9th. A 40-year-old man has been released on bail to appear in court today. A 44-year-old remains in custody ahead of a hearing later this month.
Kent Online News.
A woman's been rescued from a stranded vehicle as parts of Kent are hit by heavy flooding. Firefighters were called to Hartlake Road in Tudley near Tunbridge yesterday evening. At the time of recording today's podcast, several flood alerts are still in force, as well as more serious warnings in Yalding near Maidstone. A yellow weather warning for snow comes into force for all of Kent at 9 a.m. tomorrow and lasts through until midnight. Gritters have been out across the county preparing our roads. Nicola's been speaking to Toby Howe from KCC Highways.
We received data from the Met Office and we also received data from our own weather provider. And that is what we based our gritting runs on, and whether we're going to be having to deal with just ice or frost or snow, etc. So currently it's showing that we're going to have icy mornings and nights probably pretty much for the next 10 days or so, with possible snowfall over sort of Wednesday night mainly is what it's showing. So we have our gritters ready, and if we were to receive the amount of snowfall that we've been getting in the Midlands and the North, we would fit snowplows to our gritters when they're out and they would patrol accordingly. So it's all based on the live data that we tend to get from our weather providers.
We seem as a nation, don't we, to be very obsessed with the weather, particularly when it gets particularly cold. We're always worried about what it's going to be like if we can get it out and about. What sort of advice would you like to give to motorists whilst your crews are doing the best they can to keep our main routes clear?
It's twofold, really. Please also keep the roads clear, especially housing estates, etc., so that if there is, it is a gritting route, those gritters can get through it. Same applies to like fire engines and stuff. If we have people parking all over the roads, those gritters cannot get through. So please keep the roads clear. Also, I mean, give the gritters a wave, because our guys and girls that are out there are out loads through the night. And as they're going to be out, as I say, every night for the coming week, it's really hard work and a tough job for them. So make them feel as though their welcome would be really nice. But more importantly, if people are out there driving, etc., in these conditions, allow extra time. Prepare your car in advance. Don't just rush out, expect to get in and take the same amount of time. Please make sure you clear all the ice, any mist, etc., off the inside as well, so that you've got good visibility out there. And also expect that there are still going to be icy patches. Even though we're gritting out there, sometimes that salt that we put down may have washed off. Sometimes there might be a really hard patch. Also, whereas some of the road will have cleared through maybe some sunshine, etc., there will be patches that won't have cleared. So always expect that there is still going to be icy patches, and allow that extra time and take care. But mainly, really look after yourselves, drive safely, and make sure you get from A to B in a safe one piece.
A Kent MP is urging the government to investigate the possibility of using frozen Russian assets to help fund the Ukrainian war effort. Mike Martin says $300 billion is being held in G7 countries, including more than £20 billion worth in the UK. The Tunbridge Wells rep led a debate in the Commons last night.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I cannot state plainly enough that Ukraine is fighting for us. Ukraine is fighting for the United Kingdom, and Ukraine is fighting for the security of Europe. Putin will not stop if he succeeds in Ukraine. He seeks to recreate a Russian empire, or at least a sphere of influence, the territory of which is currently covered by countries that wish to remain free. And countries, I hasten to add, that are allies with us by treaty. I speak of Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Poland. And it is important, of course, that we look to the future in only 2 weeks now, election of President-elect Trump. We don't know how he will respond. We don't know what he will do. He may not know himself what he is going to do. But we do know that he feels differently about Ukraine, he feels differently about the security of Europe, and he feels differently about Russia. Now, why is that important? Well, we, the United Kingdom, should be proud of the leadership role that we have played over Ukraine. From the first NLAWs to the £3 billion and then some that we give every year. And we have worked with allies throughout. In total, $380 billion of support, security, humanitarian, and financial have been given to Ukraine. Of that, $180 billion has come from the US. So we can see immediately that the US, as so often in international affairs, is totally indispensable. The security of Europe rests upon American support. And so if that support is withdrawn, we have a problem.
MPs voted in favour of the motion. Staff at a Kent university could take strike action over proposed job losses. Bosses at Canterbury Christchurch University announced they'd be looking at redundancies as a way of saving £20 million. That puts 400 roles at risk. The union representing staff have given the Vice-Chancellor until Friday to backtrack or run the risk of industrial action. There'll be savings for passengers in Kent as high-speed rail line charges for operators are set to drop. The cost of running southeastern and freight freight services through Kent on HS1 should be cut by more than 10% from April. The regulator is encouraging operators to pass on the savings through reduced fares or improved service. Now, extracts from a book about a 6-year-old girl from Kent who died from cancer have been read out for the first time at her funeral. Jules Smith from Sheppey came up with the characters and design for the story as she battled the disease. She passed away from an aggressive brain tumour just before Christmas. Proceeds from the book will go to the Royal Marsden Hospital.
Kent Online News.
A campaign group's been set up to call for improvements to the water quality on part of the Kent coast. It's after a no-swim warning was issued for Deal Castle Beach towards the end of last year due to high levels of potentially dangerous E. coli. Sarah Waite-Gleave is from Save Our Sea, Deal and Warmer.
We have been very concerned that our seawater bathing quality, coastal waters, have deteriorated from 2019, when they were excellent, down to sufficient in 2023. That put us in a risky position, and it meant that in November 2024, they were graded as poor. We need to get to clean up the seawater quality and clean up our coastal waters in 2025 fast, because we've got some great Deal and Warmer events happening in 2026, and it will be causing insurance problems if we are trying to be organising those community activities with a poor, downgraded seawater quality.
What action do you want taken by the SAPAR?
Okay, we want all of the persons with power on this issue to work together. That includes Southern Water. We want much more action from them and the Environment Agency and Dover District Council and Kent County Council and indeed the Minister up in London, Steve Reid, Minister for DEFRA, to be working together to stop sewage outfills and sewage pollution in our coastal waters.
Last question, how many people are estimated to have been here?
We were really, really impressed by how many people turned out. We're still, you know, only 2 days after the new year, and we had 130 people here tonight with really sensible questions, really committed, all of them keen to work together. We have a petition up and running now, launching today, which is Clean Deal Warmer Coastal Waters. Please sign our petition.
They're urging Southern Water, the Environment Agency, councils and government to get involved. The cause of the poor water quality is still being investigated. The boss of an animal shelter near Dartford is concerned it could close as the site's been put up for sale. Kim White set up Southeast Dog Rescue in 2009 and currently rents kennels on Cotton Lane in Greenhithe. She's hoping to raise money so they can buy land of their own. An abandoned office building near a park in Folkestone could be knocked down to make way for housing. Developers want to build 6 new townhouses on a site off Stanley Road in Cheriton. You can see pictures of how it might look at Kent Online. And a farm shop in Cliffwood that's been trading for more than 40 years is set to close for the final time this weekend. Mock Beggar on Town Road has been well known for its fresh produce, and the farm actually used to supply strawberries to Wimbledon. It's not known yet what'll happen to the building.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the new Gillingham manager says he's hoping to turn around their form and see them move up the table. The Gills are currently 14th in League Two after going 4 games without a win. They sacked Mark Bonner at the weekend. Former Accrington Stanley and Rochdale boss John Coleman is now in charge at Priestfield.
A club of this stature should be challenging the top end of League Two. And that's no discredit to any other people who've been involved here, you know, previous managers. You know, the unfortunate thing in this industry is that for me to get back into work, and for any other manager to get back into work, it has to be at the pain of somebody else, and that's the sad part of it, and it's happened to me on a few occasions. But this club should be higher up the pyramid. I have this conversation with Paul Cook quite a lot, the Chesterfield manager. Two of us are early birds, so we don't sleep, so we know we can get hold of each other at 6:30, so we tend to chew the fat about most things, and we're always thinking about, you know, if you were to go into a job, where do you place that club in the pyramid? I certainly wouldn't be classing Gillingham as a mid-table League Two club, that's for sure. And I think the fact that from the background I've come from, and quite similar to the background of a lot of people who are supporters here, you look at Saturday as being your day that you can provide the fans with thrills and spills, and I'm a fan first and foremost, and I want the fans to get on the edge of the seats, and hopefully we can deliver that. There's no guarantee you can deliver results in football. There's lots of things that can go wrong on a day that's out of your control. But one thing that are in your control is you can fight for every ball, you can play on the front foot, you can play attacking football. They're in your remit, and that's what we're trying to do. I'd like to think that we will attack. I've never ever set up a game of football. I've managed over 1,200 games. I've never set up a team to just not get beat. I've wanted to win every game I've played. And if we get onto the head tennis court, the players will know that me and Jimmy, we believe we can still win at games of head tennis against them. I want to win, and it's been something that's driven me all my life. And I think it's a healthy thing, you know. It's not a stubbornness. It's a desire that I'm still stoking them flames, and I miss it when I'm not stoking them flames. I'm delighted to be back, but I am excited. And to be honest, I know I've got a lot to offer. And this club has got a real big chance of being successful. Now, there's lots of clubs in the pyramid that, you know, haven't got that opportunity. And so it's pleasing to be able to come to a club that I, in my opinion, should be higher up in the food chain.
And here's Gillingham Managing Director, Joe Comper.
Really tough decision, and one I don't think we really considered making until we made it, if that makes sense, where we, as a club, stuck with Mark. That was the plan. We were behind him. We wanted to deliver something long term. We didn't want the chopping and changing. We wanted some continuity. I think it just felt like it had become almost inevitable the last couple of weeks, and then in the end the result at Bromley, against Bromley here, we'd had some. After that, we had some very frank discussions with Mark, and actually a lot of it he was bringing to the table. You know, it wasn't a one-way conversation. It was very much a two-way conversation about, you know, what's not going wrong, what's going wrong, what are we going to do about it, how can we stop this? And some people were confused with the timing, because obviously there was the Bromley game, and then we were due to play Chesterfield. And that was because discussions were ongoing. It wasn't something that was going on almost behind Mark's back. It was something that we was discussing with him, and very frankly, and you know, trying to look at a way forward. See, the game gets postponed, so that brought the decision forward probably 24 hours, and ultimately we decided to make the change. But sad on a personal level, because Mark, really nice guy, top professional. He worked really hard for the club, and you know, I think he had great intentions, but sadly, at this club at this moment, it didn't materialise. And I genuinely hope he goes on and has a good career elsewhere, because you know, he deserves it. He's smart and he's a nice guy. So we genuinely wish him the best of luck. It's not something we say just as a throwaway. We really do hope he goes on and does well. But for us as a club, we need to, you know, that's done now. That's part of our history, and we now need to move on.
Meanwhile, Gillingham Football Club has revealed plans for a new fan zone at Priestfield Stadium. The owners want to create space for up to 900 supporters to use before, during and after matches, with entertainment, food and drink kiosks and a seating area. They've submitted an application to knock down an old sports hall at the back of the Rainerman to make way for it. Staying with football, and Sittingbourne have been drawn away to National League Southend United in the FA Trophy fifth round. They're through to the last 16 for the first time in their history after beating Salisbury 2-1 on Saturday. And in cricket, Canterbury Cricket Week will start with a women's match for the first time this year. The Horses are taking on Gloucestershire in the Vitality Blast League 2 at the Spitfire Ground on Friday the 27th of June. Cairns men will face Northamptonshire in a county championship game 2 days later, with more than 1,000 school children invited to watch. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.